which is not even a ghost, but its dead self. Almost all you can say of it is that it consists of the mere letters of its old name.
take love. Part of you, what are you so? 40 cycles per second, United States government standard.
Thank you. Law and Disorder.
Today on Law and Disorder, we talk about the very important development in the USA, the explosive growth of the Democratic Socialists of America and the convention they recently had in Chicago.
Historian Paul LeBlanc is our guest. He attended the convention and he reports on what he saw and heard.
We rebroadcast a segment of the interview that I, Michael Smith, and Michael Ratner did with the great attorney Mel Wolf, who died several years ago at age 96.
Attorney Mel Wolf successfully argued 5 cases before the U.S. Supreme Court and then served for 15 years as the legal director of the ACLU.
Stay with us.
I'm New York City attorney and author Michael Stephen Smith.
And I'm Jim Lafferty, a decades-long political activist and once the national director of the National Lawyers Guild. In a remarkable come-from-behind victory in the Democratic primary over disgraced former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, the Democratic Socialist candidate Zoran Mandani is likely to become the next mayor of New York City in November's election. This comes a decade after the Democratic Socialist of America, the DSA, exploded onto the stage of U.S. politics. The organization is full of vibrant campaigns, discussions, and experimentation. For example, how can Democratic Socialists build a working-class political alternative powerful enough to defeat Trump's authoritarian regime? How should it relate to the pro-capitalist Democratic Party? What strategy can revive the labor movement? And what is its vision of democratic socialism, and how does it get there? To answer those questions and others, we speak today with DSA member Paul LeBlanc, who recently attended DSA's biannual convention in Chicago. Mr. LeBlanc is a retired professor of history from La Roche University in Pittsburgh, and he has been active in movements for human rights and economic justice for over 6 decades now. Currently, Mr. LeBlanc is a member of Democratic Socialists of America, of Solidarity, and of the Tempest Collective. He has written and edited many books, including the book A Short History of the U.S. Working Class. And many of Mr. LeBlanc's recent articles are online in Cumanus and in Links, the International Journal of Socialist Renewal. Mr. LeBlanc is also a contributor to A User's Guide to the DSA. Well, Paul LeBlanc, a warm welcome to Law and Disorder Radio.
Thank you so much, Jim. I'm delighted to be here. And for starters, I want to emphasize something. I've been a formal member, a paper member of DSA for several years, but I've been seriously active in my local DSA chapter for no more than a year, and this was my first convention, which I attended as an observer, not a delegate. I should say I decided to attend the convention in order to learn more about the actual lay of the land in DSA. And although I learned a lot, I'm still learning, and there's much that I don't know. And that's especially the case because DSA is incredibly dynamic. It's in the middle of a growth spurt from 50,000 to 80,000 and still growing. And it's been dramatically impacted and radicalized by the crises and catastrophes that we're all living through. And it isn't the same moderate socialist organization that Michael Harrington helped to organize back in 1982. It's not even the same organization it was 5 years ago. It's been tilting fairly leftward at the moment. So it's very fluid. It's going through changes, very much a work in progress. Anyway, I'll do the best I can.
That sounds fine, Paul. We appreciate you saying that, though. Paul, the organization Democratic Socialists of America, or DSA, did hold its convention in August 8th, 9th, and 10th in Chicago. Remind our audience, who may not be familiar with it, what the DSA is. You've already talked about the number of members, how many of them are perhaps really active members, how many attended the convention, and what is the demographic makeup of the membership. Give us some of that background before we go any deeper.
Sure. Well, it's an organization that's very broadly committed to socialism. There may be differences on how to understand what socialism will mean or how to get there. There are differences within the organization. Actually, the membership has been fluctuating over the past several years. So a few years ago, it was up to 90,000, then it declined to about 50,000. But now, as I said before, it's grown to more than 80,000. Some of the things that have caused that, well, one is Trump's second term victory. Another is Zoran Mamdani's win in the Democratic Party's New York City mayoral primary. And then, of course, there's the genocide in Palestine, which is another key factor in the thinking of all of the people who are at the convention and in the organization. Some predict that the membership is going to be rising to 100,000 before too long. But it's important to understand what this 100,000 represents. It's a paper membership, not an active membership. And I want to use Pittsburgh, where I live, is an illustration of what is the larger reality. In Pittsburgh, the paper membership has fluctuated around 700. Now, of these, between 400 and 500 have been members in good standing, which means they've paid dues. They've paid up. Of these, roughly 10 or 15% could be understood to be active. That is, they attend the monthly membership meetings, which are hybrid. They're largely in person, but with an online attendance as well. Also, these folks are involved in one or another working group of the chapter. I've begun attending the monthly meetings in person, and when I'm there, I generally see between 50 and 80 participants at each meeting. This translates into a national total of, I would say, 8,000 to 10,000 active DSA members, which is still a substantial force. It's bigger than any other group on the left, the U.S. left at the present time. Now, then I can go, based on what I saw at the convention in Chicago, and there were about 1,500 people in attendance, almost all of whom were members of DSA, over 1,200 of whom were elected delegates. The age range was overwhelmingly on the young side, perhaps a few teenagers, I don't know, but mostly folks in their 20s and 30s, and some in their 40s. Those in their 50s and 60s were relatively fewer in number. And then there was only a sprinkling of people like me in their 70s and 80s. While a majority of those at the convention could be identified as white, there were significant numbers of Hispanic, African, South Asian, East Asian, and Middle Eastern folks of that extraction. So it wasn't all white, but it was a majority white. The gender balance struck me as fairly even, although there seemed to be a far greater percentage than usual of those identifying as trans and non-binary. What especially stood out for me, Jim, was that the great majority of those who were present seemed to understand themselves to be part of the working class, an occupationally diverse working class, but working class, and that class identity seem to be central to the discussions at the convention.
Paul, this is Michael Smith. Who were the main speakers at the convention, and what was the most notable about their remarks?
Sure. One thing to understand is this was a working convention, so that it wasn't lots of different speakers. It was people, you know, dealing with business and all kinds of procedural motions and counter motions and so forth and so on. But there were some speakers, and the keynote speaker was Rashida Tlaib, and she gave an incredibly radical speech, and the convention delegates responded to it with immense enthusiasm. It was a very left-wing speech. You can hear it online, by the way. I urge everyone to go online, look up Rashida Tlaib, DSA Convention 2025, and listen to the speech. It was an amazing speech. It was very critical of the Democratic Party establishment as well as the Republican Party establishment. It was very much critical of the State of Israel and the Zionist regime there, uncompromisingly defending Palestinian rights and linking that to realities that workers and the oppressed in this country are experiencing. It was a very, very radical speech, and it was a very popular speech. There were two other sessions where it wasn't mostly procedure and voting and motions and so forth. There was a panel of presentations by key organizers of Zoran Mamdani's mayoral campaign in New York City. One aspect of it, the major aspect of it, was going through how they did it, the kind of organizing, the quality of organizing, the intensity of organizing that was carried out to win this remarkable victory. In that panel presentation, there was a little bit of time for discussion, and the few questions were focused on what now? Assume that he wins the election and that he's the mayor of New York. What's he going to do to carry through on the